In Orchos Yosha, there's an entire chapter on what Yerushalayim is actually all about. We're going to do a little bit of that, and then go to some of the questions and answers that Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal has on this, and some stories related to that. So there is a minor Masechta, a minor tractate called Maseches Atzilus. Too lazy to learn that one, right? So it says, Eliyahu ben Yosef Pasach, it says, Ksiv, Sod Hashem Lirev Riyasa Lahodam. So Eliyahu ben Yosef began his discourse with the following. The Pasuk says, Sod Hashem Lirev, Hashem's secrets are those who fear him. And Briso, his covenant, is Lahodiyam, is to make them know. What does that mean? So in the Brice it says, Meha Olifna Sheinu Kishbarach Megala Sodakim Lirev. Hashem only reveals his secrets to those that actually fear him. So we discussed yesterday about the whole concept of going to fortune tellers and Nevi'im and the like. So today's Talmidei Chachamim, those that fear Hashem, are the ones that are given over the secrets of the Torah and the secrets of the world. So one of the reasons why people go to a Talmid Chacham for brachos is not just simply because of his Kedusha, but because there's an essence that they have some knowledge of things that we wouldn't necessarily have because of this Pasuk to tell us this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala Sodav, he reveals the secrets to those who are Yirav, to those who actually fear him. Which means, even, so it continues on, Shafilu Adam Yisraelam in Mikra Mishnah Talmud Vagad Seftos, even a person who studied all of Torah, basically, Vein Bo Yira, and he doesn't have fear of heaven, L'chinam Tzal B'mayim Adirim. Tough words over here, but the Medrash says over here, if he's lacking fear of heaven, even if he studies everything, he's like one who has dived into mighty waters for no purpose. All of his efforts will be in vain, because the secrets of the Torah will not be revealed to him. It doesn't mean that that's why a person's studying, but if they think, I study, and I'm going to get all the secrets of the Torah, not so. So we know, like, and we've discussed in the past, South Korea or Japan, where they have those Talmud hotels, where they built hotels and they put a Talmud in every room, translated into, I think it was Japanese. They put it there because they said that they knew that the Jews have tremendous business acumen and they get it from studying Talmud. Well, they're not thinking about getting the secrets from the Jews of all the things that Hashem has, but that was their ultimate goal when they built these hotels, that instead of putting a Bible there, they put a Talmud Bavli there that people can actually study so they can actually become smart. So he says over here in this Maseches Atzilus that if you don't have fear of heaven, it's not going to help. It's not going to make a difference. So therefore, a person needs to know that having Yirah Shamayim, again, on the simplest level, Yirah Shamayim, this person does not want to go against the will of Hashem. Not because of punishment. He has a Yirah Shamayim. He's concerned for the honor of heaven and therefore fears heaven. So this is one of the concepts that we have. That's just the introduction that we have of this. He has much more to say on this. But ultimately, we're just going to go to the end on this idea. In the back of this chapter, he explains the following. One of Chaim's grandsons came to request a bracha that his newborn son would grow up to be a Talmud Chacham and a Yirei Shamayim. The famous question. Chaim quoted that Bris Grovo had said that in order for one's son to become a Talmud Chacham, his father should learn Torah with him. And in order for him to become God-fearing, his mother should daven for him. He added that he was once asked why there are two references to Yirei Shamayim in the blessing of the new month. We know in the Yehi Ratzon, Yirei Shamayim and Yirei Shchet, and we ask again for Yirei Shamayim. He answered, when it comes to Yirei Shamayim, there is no limit. So clearly, it's one of the most important things that we have to daven for. That's the only thing that's duplicated in the bracha, in the Rosh Chodesh blessing that we have in Birkas HaChodesh, is about Yirei Shamayim. That was his answer. That's the one area that a person actually needs to improve on, and can always get more Yirei Shamayim. What you see from here, the father has to learn with the child, and the mother has to daven for the child in order for him to actually have Yirei Shamayim. I was always under the assumption that Kol Bidei Shamayim, everything's in the hands of heaven, Chutz Mi Yirei Shamayim. Everything except for Yirei Shamayim. That seems like you can't daven for that. It seems like something. So it could be you can't daven for it. Maybe somebody else can actually daven for it. Maybe your mother can daven for it. That might be actually a little bit different. When someone came to Rav Chaim seeking his bracha for Yirei Shamayim, he told him this depends on a person's will. Blessings do not help. So you have this contradicting paragraph, but we see it's a little different. When another person asked for a bracha for Yirei Shamayim, Rav Chaim said, for this, one must learn Musar. On another occasion, he answered slightly differently. He said, brachos don't help for that. You have to still learn Torah in order to acquire Yirei Shamayim. Brachos are effective for other things, but not for that. So we see, in order to acquire Yirei Shamayim, you can daven for it all you want. Doesn't really help. Sounds like your mother could daven for it, and that would help. But ultimately, your study of Torah will actually develop Yirei Shamayim, even though we just saw in the beginning, in Maseches Atzilus, that if you study Torah and you don't have Yirei Shamayim, it doesn't actually help. But seemingly over here, this level of musa that a person has, or studying Torah to the effect that they want to develop Yerushalayim, is key. Not just simply that you want to be able to have Torah, but rather you like to have fear of heaven, so that's how a person should actually do it. So a person came to Reb Chaim Kanessi asking many questions. So he said that in order to Yerushalayim is on one side of the coin, but many times we don't study Torah because we don't value it to the effect of like, they're more enjoyable things I'd much rather do than studying Torah. I think we can all associate many things that might be more enjoyable, and sometimes toiling in Torah study is too hard, and just like lazing out is a little bit easier. So toiling in Torah is something that he says is going to actually give a person sweetness in Torah. And we actually have a brach, like we say this in the morning, v'harav na'ashem alakunis divrei Torascha, that the brach you say in Berachas Torah is about making it sweet within us. And one of the biggest reasons why we don't study Torah enough and put our efforts into study of Torah is because it's not sweet enough. It's like if I give you a piece of chicken and it has no flavor, you're not interested in the chicken. I can give you more chicken, but it still has no flavor, you don't want to eat any of the chicken. The key to the component of studying Torah and finding the sweetness of it, so he says, is that number one, you have to feel that sweetness. Number two, it's going to come actually with toil itself. So what are the kind of things that make a person lose his taste in the study, in the sweetness of Torah? First of all, not doing it is one. Not studying it will cause you to lose the flavor for it. But the second thing he says is really Yerushalayim. When a person doesn't develop his own fear of heaven, then he's going to lose the sweetness of Torah study. So many times people, they'll say, look, I tried that already. I already started. I tried learning Gemara already. Listen, I tried. It's not for me, right? Neither is air, right? I tried it. It was smoggy outside. I didn't like the air, so you're not going to breathe. So a person gives up on these areas because of the fact that they feel like, I didn't feel the sweetness of it. The sweetness will come with toil, but it has to come with toil where you feel like you're really developing something. Once you start breaking your teeth over it and you work hard on it, you're going to eventually find the sweetness of what it's all about. We'll just close with a story over here that relates to the level of Yerushalayim. It's a famous story, but it puts together some of the missing pieces if you're not familiar with the story. And that is Rav Chaim's daughter, Rebbetzin Sivyon, told over the following story about her grandfather, known as the Stipler, Rav Chaim Kanessi's father, tells over this famous story that some of you may know, maybe part of it. The Karelitz family became aware of my grandfather's enormous Yerushalayim. After the shidduch was suggested, a meeting was arranged between my grandfather and my grandmother. When she arrived at the meeting place, she was astonished that the bacher who had arrived earlier, the stipler, had fallen asleep. So why did he go to sleep? So I heard the story a little bit differently, but here it's coming from her book. Later, the reason became clear. The stipler was accustomed to very long learning siddurim and often slept only after 2 days of continuous learning, a day, a night, and another day. Before setting out for his meeting with my grandmother, he had learned for long hours, planning to sleep on the train. However, when he boarded the train, he discovered that the seats were upholstered, and he was concerned that those seats might have shotness in it. He stood the entire way and continued to review his learning while on the train. He waited in the appointed meeting place for the girl, who was supposed to be accompanied by her brother. However, they were late, and since he was totally exhausted, he decided to take a nap. He recited Kriya Shema and the Bracha of Hamapil, and was then informed that the girl had arrived. What did he do? In order for the bracha not to be in vain, he had motioned to them that he has to go to sleep. So the way we always hear the story is that he fell asleep on the date itself. But here he says, no, it wasn't that he fell asleep on the date. He had to go to sleep because he said a bracha. He didn't want to say a bracha in vain. My grandmother said that at that meeting, my grandfather spoke about the beatings he had suffered when serving in the Russian army because he refused to desecrate the Shabbos. He said that he had derived great spiritual pleasure from those beatings and wanted to see whether she understood the meaning of such pleasure and was capable of actually experiencing that. That, my friends, is a difficult first date. Heavy, heavy first date teaches us a little bit about Yerushalayim.